from Channel 9. He's a political reporter for Channel 9 News. Chris O'Keefe is on the line. Cocky, how are you, mate?
Yeah, good, fellas. How are you?
Well, I think we should start for the biggest news. And yourself, Yvonne, are on your way to being parents. Congratulations, mate.
Oh, thank you very much, Joel. We're thrilled. We honestly are. We're very thrilled at the opportunity to become parents and just hope we do a good job. And so far, so good. And, you know, everything that we hope for is coming to pass. And, you know, so far it's looks pretty healthy, and that's all we can ask, right?
Any cravings, Christopher? Has your lovely wife got any cravings yet?
Just naps. She's loving it. She's getting hit in between the eyes with a sledgehammer probably two or three times a day. So she's happy that it's the off-season.
I might be pregnant. I've been having a lot of naps myself. I tell you, there's a lot of strange ones out there, Chris. My wife, with our first, she was into pulpy orange juice. She hates orange juice and never has beforehand. She never liked it afterhand. But pulpy orange juice she needed. I've told you the story about Lincoln with his wife, Beck. She used to break into the tennis balls and the fresh smell of a tennis ball out of a can of...
Wow.
Yeah.
So I didn't know it was a smell. I thought it was always a food craving.
Yeah, no, it was a smell of when you crack open the can of tennis ball. Their backyard was full of tennis balls. They never played tennis. Anyway, what's making news with you, Chrissy?
Well, it's all this Omicron variant, isn't it? You know, like that's all anybody's talking about. And I think there's a fair bit of panic in the community about it. To be fair, we've all been vaccinated and we sort of got through Delta and we got through last year's lockdown and now it feels like we could be back at square one. But I can tell you, fellas, to be honest with you, I've spoken to a lot of epidemiologists and a lot of health ministers, both first federally and in New South Wales too. And I don't think that there's any cause to panic. All of the information we're getting out of South Africa, where it seems they've got the most data about this new variant, is saying that it's mild. The symptoms are mild. It might be a touch more transmissible in the mutations, and it all sounds fairly scary. But if you were vaccinated, so far all of the cases that have been picked up in Australia at least, they haven't been all that ill. So they've either been asymptomatic or just had a runny nose and a bit of a scratchy throat. And what some of the epidemiologists are saying was it might actually be a good thing if we've got a really mild version of COVID-19, which would overtake the more severe versions of COVID-19, like your Deltas and the Wuhan version and all the rest of it. And in that case, if we can outcompete it, then we have a dominant strain that doesn't make us all that crook, which wouldn't be a bad thing.
So it's only very early days, but the epidemiologists, Chris, are they saying that the current vaccinations that we have, you know, the Pfizer's, all those that we've been taking, Moderna, et cetera, are they likely to protect us against the Omicron strain?
Yes. So there's absolutely no evidence whatsoever to say that the Omicron strain is sort of resistant to vaccines or can subvert the vaccines in any way, which is really good news. And anyone who's coming into Australia right now, it's really important to note that everybody coming in is vaccinated, doubly vaccinated. And they've picked up a lady who came in from South Africa the other day. And now she came in on Thursday and she ended up going to Parramatta, Westfields and doing a whole bunch of shopping. So she's the only person who they believe was not in isolation at the time, and that is somewhat of a concern because she did end up on the Central Coast, etc. So if the thing is taking off and is super transmissible and all the rest of it, well, that is a concern because she wasn't in isolation.
So, Chris, the vaccination rates in South Africa are low because there is no vaccination or the people just haven't got around to it yet? Because they're sitting at 9%.
Yeah.
That seems very low, doesn't it?
It does. And it's a shame, isn't it? And that this is the issue we've got worldwide. A pandemic is global by its name and its very nature. And just because we're 95% in old Sydney Town and New South Wales, it's a fantastic achievement. Mm. But we're going to see variants pop up all around the third world because the vaccines aren't there. And vaccines cost money, guys, you know? So, you know, governments need big dollars to vaccinate an entire population. And as well as that, there's disparate populations as well in South Africa, poor communities. And you know, that's why a lot of the epidemiologists around the world and the infectious diseases people are saying, well, if we can't vaccinate poor countries, then this is just going to keep happening over and over and over again.
Chatting to Chris O'Keefe, political reporter for Nine News. Now, Australia has paused opening border to visa holders from December. Chris, so from your point of view, and this is just your two bobs, what you think, do you think gone are the days, at least for now, of lockdown? Like, are we likely to see the lockdowns pop up again, or do you think it's just play on six to go now?
I think it should be play on six to go.
Yeah.
I think that's everybody's inclination, because what else can you ask of Australia?
Yeah.
If you've got to the point in New South Wales where 95% vaccinated, the rest of the country will be pretty close to 95% vaccinated, you know, come New Year. So we're going to get to that level. If that's the deal you make with Australia, you can't lock down every time a new variant comes in. We heard the new Premier, Dominic Perrottet, say the other day, living with COVID means living with the different variants of it. And, you know, when the flu comes in and there's a different flu strain every year, we don't name it with a Greek letter.
Yeah.
And then cause panic about it and close international borders. So I've just got to take a bit of a chill pill, just relax. We'll see what happens over the next couple of weeks. And when the data rolls in, I think we'll know more about it. And with any luck, if it's mild, let's forget about it and enjoy Christmas.
Yeah.
Well said. What about the Perth test? What's the situation over there? Because we know McGowan doesn't really like letting too many people into his state.
Can I ask you, blokes?
Yeah.
How bad is Mark McGowan as a human being?
A grade. He's an A grade.
Registered.
Seriously. He is. What do they? Do the Perth? But he's got. He must have a lot of support over there. Are all Western Australians? What's going on there?
I don't know what's going on there, mate. I don't know how on earth you could reward this bloke. I don't know how he looks at himself in the mirror every morning. It's like he takes glee in being cruel to his countrymen and women. It's just shocking. But I know a colleague of mine, she went into Howard Springs for 2 weeks, spent $5,000, and then did quarantine to try to get to Perth to go to a sister's wedding. And then an hour before she was about to get on the plane in Darwin to fly to Perth, he said, home quarantine for 14 days, so she's missed the wedding. You know, so on the cricket, this is unbelievable. See, Mark McGowan's jumped up today, and because of this new variant, has said for the test in Perth, which is at the new Optus Stadium over there, all Ashes officials and players, so the English team, the Australian team, all the staff, as well as all the broadcasters that are coming from the East Coast, 14-day strict hotel quarantine.
Yeah, good luck, Mark.
Now, the test before that's 5 days before that.
Yeah.
So forget that. It's off in Perth, and you know what the good mail is? And Fletch, you'll be excited for this.
Day-nighter,
Melbourne Cricket Ground, the week of the Australian Open.
Wow.
How good would Melbourne be for that?
Yeah,
that is good.
Has he got the inside running there, Warnie? Like, that's what he wanted. Warnie come up with this? Or had he heard it and went, you know, it'd be a good idea? Bang.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Hey, can I ask you this, Chris? Why do the state premiers have so much power? Can't the federal, like, can't Scott Morrison just come and overrule? Or is there something in the constitution to say that state premiers have the right of way?
Well, that's the thing, right? So it's the federation, unfortunately, and we've seen how little it does work in this instance. And I think, you know, they've tried to go to the high court, and I know Clive Palmer tried to jam in with Mark McGowan, that sort of fell over, and that's simply because it's what happened. Prior to 1901, we were all a bunch of penal colonies, and we got together and sort of had a bit of a kumbaya session and came up with the Commonwealth of Australia. And, you know, up until the pandemic, it hasn't really caused us too many dramas. And Scott Morrison sort of, you know, cut his nose off to spite his face at the National Cabinet a bit, because ever in your lifetimes, everybody has known all the names of all the state and territory premiers and chief ministers? Never in mine.
No,
I don't know. I cover politics, and I wouldn't have been able to tell you the Tasmanian premier's name. Mm.
David Boone?
But now we can.
Hey, Chris, okay, tell me this then. Why, if my licence is expired in New South Wales, I can't go up to Queensland and get a new one? How come they have jurisdictions? Because I tried to do that once, and I was overruled.
Why did you try to do that?
Because I lost my points. So someone told me to go and sit the exam up there. And I wasn't allowed to because they checked my license down here.
Tell me that. I don't know. Yeah. It was the same with the hospitals. They rate, like, all the states and territories run the services, right? I tell you what, speaking of talking points, do you remember the RCA in New South Wales?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Remember trying to renew your licence or your registration in Sydney? You'd fanning them need to take a day off work.
Yeah.
That's one thing Gladys Berejiklian hasn't got the credit for is the service New South Wales being doing on the app.
Yeah. Yes, she's come up with a lot of good ideas. Speaking about Gladys, can she come back? Can she come back?
Of course she can.
Really?
Yes.
I'm not asking you. I'm going to go to the reporter.
Righto.
Chris, can Gladys make a comeback?
Yes, 100% she can. Now, does she want to make a comeback? Does she want to go to Canberra and join the rabble again? I don't know. I don't know. Does she need a spell, do you think? Mm. A little let up and then come back fresh first up? Maybe that's more a go in the next election. She'd certainly beat Zali Steggall up in Warringah if that's the seat she wants to run at.
Hands and heels.
But to be honest with you, ultimately, I think the public looks at everything that happened to Gladys and said, well, you never really took a backhander. You're just a little bit embarrassed that you had a pretty weird boyfriend.
Yeah.
And that's creep. About it, right?
Creep. Yeah. Can she go into federal politics now? Is there anything stopping her?
No, nothing at nothing. All. Nothing. And this is the thing, nothing's stopping her doing anything because, you know, ICAC's basically unless you're Eddie OB, there might be drama, but otherwise you're just trying to save your reputation in terms of a publicity stunt, really, rather than anything sort of criminal. There was no criminal behaviour by any stretch of the imagination that Gladys was involved in.
Can I ask you this, Chris? What made you attracted to politics? What made you study politics?
I don't know. I've always enjoyed it. I remember as a kid, I was a bit strange. It was rugby league on a Sunday afternoon, cricket in summer, and then I'd be one of those weirdos who'd watch the balls drop on election night with Big Laurie Oates.
Oh, sorry. Ray Martin, I was thinking the same thing, but I was at the Hellfire Club. That was on a Wednesday night, El Black Market. What about you? Were you like a young liberal? Were you ever part of those sort of parties, or do they have Young Labour?
No.
Nah.
No. I was never into that. Those guys are all right. I know a lot of them, but it's all a bit of a strange situation, you know. I wasn't the coolest kid coming up, but, you know, I was a bit cooler than that, I think.
Have we got any young superstars coming through? You know, like real prodigies just destined to become a future Prime Minister. Have we seen any of those lying around, Chris?
It's funny you say that. I don't think so. I certainly haven't. I like Dave Sharma from Wentworth. He's a good fella. He took over from Malcolm Turnbull, you know, after Karen Phelps had a little go. He was a former ambassador to Israel there. Ooh. He's really, really, really bright. I like him. On the Labor side of things, Ed Husick's really good. He's from Mount Druitt. He's a really decent sort of guy. But in terms of your Paul Keatings and co, I don't know. I haven't seen. I think that's one of the problems too, because they don't get paid enough money. People like me go through, you know, all their dirty laundry all the time. Every time they stub their toe, there's a story on the news about it. And it's a really difficult life. And is the payoff worth it, you know? And I don't think in many cases it is. And if I'm a young, bright person who's got a future in private industry where I'm going to make a good quid, would you bother going into politics? Probably not.
Well, that's a very good point. So what's the answer to that? Why have we got people in the banking sector who are earning more than what somebody could earn running the state? Well, why don't we up the ante and get the best of the best in running these things?
Well, it's good because we all... But the thing is, it's sort of our problem as well. And I mean, the media and the public, because we killed off the pension in New South Wales. That was sort of a bit of a financial lure to get you into Parliament. So no matter what, you knew that you were going to be set up for life. But the problem was you got so much dead wood in there, happy to be set up for life, and they'd never leave because they essentially knew that they were going to get a really good pension no matter what. But, like, it's got to be financially viable and it's got to be financially enticing. People have to be financially enticed to be a politician. And I don't think they are at the moment. And as well as that, I don't reckon that you would want you and your family to go through what a lot of these guys go through for what are pretty average sort of misdemeanors. Like, just look at Gladys. Gladys gets to the very top, is as squeaky clean as I've seen in Parliament, and look how she comes a cropper.
We're talking about young up and coming politicians, Chris. What about this kid? for the Central Ward for the Independents, one Johnny Sutton. Sutto is Group D, along with Anthony Andrews, Johnny Sutton, and Chun Wang. That's a good team. Vote for experience. Strong. How do you reckon Sutto? Strong. How do you reckon Sutto will go? I'm Fed Ingham. He's a bra boy. But this could be the first. This could be a first bra boy in local government.
Is this Kobe Abbott and the boys trying to stitch things up in Randwick?
No, this is, and you can vote. I thought it was a G up, but no, Johnny Sutton. He looks very flash. He looks very good.
I'd be fascinated to see what he gets in the votes. Like how close they get. Do they get there?
You never know. Because Russell Fairfax is doing the same. He's not off the Independents. Yeah. I don't know where he is. So there might be hope for us all. Hope for us all.
Well done, Chris. Is there any local council areas that are getting the most noise? Is it a really hot, contested one going out there? Or have you found anything there?
No, not really. It's, I don't know. Councils are a bit how's your father, aren't they?
Yeah.
I know there's a massive blue on at the moment trying to get some money for Leichhardt Oval out of Dominic Perrottet. It looks like he's giving money to Brookie. I think they're building some, you know, $300-400 million joint out at Penrith. And I know the Inner West councillor Darcy Byrne. There was a midnight coup that took him out. The Greens took him out as mayor, but he's there still punching on, trying to get some money for Leichhardt Oval. So at least it's usable when they play a couple of games and over here the Tigers.
Look, I'm Tiger Man through and through, Chris, and I love Leichhardt Oval, and it's one of the great places to go. But unfortunately, where it's located, it's a shit fight for parking. I don't know if that's the best way to spend money. What do you think?
I reckon that you're probably right. Mm. I don't think there's any reason why they can't spend some money on it.
Mm.
Look at what they've done at Redson. I reckon that's quite good. They've made a sort of a community facility. They've got the little skate park there. You know, the bunnies go down there here and then there to train. And you know, I just think it's a good community facility. There's no point in having Leichhardt there, in my view, locked up. So like, not only does it not get used by the Tigers, it doesn't get used by the community. So you play a couple of games there, boutique, bring on a Sunday afternoon. It's got to be on a Sunday afternoon.
It has to be.
Stop scheduling Friday night games in the middle of winter at Leichhardt. It's a complete waste of time. But I think a little bit of money there would be good. Cogra doesn't need any money. There was some talk about Cogra and my Dragons getting some money, even as a dyed-in-the-wool St. George supporter. I cannot justify any money getting spent on Cogra. They should spend some money on Wollongong. Brookie desperately needs some. Mm. Desperately. And I think that's about it. Because the thing at Moore Park, the new footy stadium, it's going to cost about $1 billion when everything's said and done. And if you've driven up Driver Avenue lately at Moore Park, it's coming along really quickly. It looks fantastic.
They'll get it out
of the ground.
They'll get their money back very quickly. I've noticed that Justin Hems is going to have his restaurants in there. So be expecting to pay like $90 for a cocktail.
Oh, yes.
How do you reckon cheese will go there?
Oh. This could go two ways. Him coming to the east.
Mate, you know Bondi. You got to keep him in line.
Yeah, I'm not going anywhere near it.
Good luck.
I've done my time.
Good luck. Hey, Chris, thank you very much, mate. Once again, and of course, we can catch you from 6 PM on the 9 News.
Good on you, fellas.
Thanks,
enjoy
Chris.
It as always.
Always a great chat.